For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from on a day of cloud and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them in their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and mountains heights of Israel will be their grazing lands. There they will lie down in a grazing land, and there will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and one another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample and rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to also drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet?
Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you above, with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend to them. He will tend to them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts, so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I will bless them and place the surrounding on the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in the season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them the land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the Sovereign Lord.
Thank you. I have to say, you remind me of the time when I was at your age, and we had Boy Scouts at our school, and I really wanted to join, but Mom said no. So there's this sad feeling that I have as I see you like Boy Scouts and Reformed. So that's perfect.
Be counselor,
yes. For sure, Tiger will join. Thank you very much. We were very blessed by your presentations and the pictures and the songs, everything. So, God Seeking Us is the title for today's sermon and also the theme of the cadets this year. Cadets now. Counselor Len told me that later you'll get a question that you'll have to answer about the sermon for you to get ice cream. Okay? So pay attention. Well, I hope I can do this to everyone. A little quiz for the sermon and you get your coffee. God Seeking Us. It's such a great theme, because it captures so well what our faith is all about. Out of all the religions in the world, Christian faith is unique, that our God is seeking for us. In all other religions, it's about us. It's about man searching for God, man trying to find God, find the truth, but for us Christians, it's the other way around. And Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it really nicely. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God seeking man. What a good news. See what's under that big eye, supposed to be God's eye, I guess. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. When we say God is searching for us, I think it means at least four things. God seeking us means, I think, four things. Let me just give you the four things right now. God is searching for us because, one, we get lost. And two, because we have bad shepherds. And three, because God himself wants to be our shepherd. And four, he is searching for us to make us his mini shepherds. So number one, we get lost. When we say we are searching for something or seeking for something, it probably means that we lost something, right? We can't find it. Cadets, are you so good at being organized and always putting things back where they belong to? So whenever you need to find something, you know where they are? Are you so organized? Ish? Or do you have to search for something because you can't find or remember where you put that? I see your mom's faces. Do you often say something like this? I can't find my book. Did I leave it at school yesterday? It's got to be somewhere in my room, but I can't find it. Where is my book? You know, in Korean language, you can say all these in just one word. I can't find my book. Did I leave it at school yesterday? It's got to be somewhere. I can't find it. One word in Korean. You know what that is? Mom! Or 엄마 in Korean. I guess it's same in English. So God is searching for something. And what is he searching for? In verse 11, we read that God is searching for his sheep. And what's the problem with those sheep? Of course, they are lost. In verse 6, which I read during our time of confession, God says, "My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." Now, in the Bible, we are often called God's children, and God is our Father, so children and Father. Or sometimes we are called God's branches, and Jesus is the vine, branches and vine. Or sometimes we are called his bride, and Jesus is our groom, wife and husband, bride and groom. Or sometimes we are called the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of the body. So many different great metaphors that teach us about our relationship between us and God. But more than anything else in the Bible, for about 400 times we are called sheep. And for about 100 times, God is called our shepherd. And Ezekiel 34 actually is the longest passage in the Bible that describes God as our shepherd. Now, if we are like sheep, then what kind of problem do we have? What it is about sheep that makes it necessary that we have to have a shepherd? Well, you see, the problem is that we are sheep. That's the problem. It's not like we are sheep and some of us have some problems. No, being sheep is the problem. I don't know too much about what sheep are like, so I did a bit of research, and it didn't take me long to find out that sheep are pretty helpless. A guy named Tim Challis, a great Christian writer who writes from Ontario, he wrote about how helpless sheep are in three ways. They are dumb, directionless, and defenseless. Three D's, easy to remember. Sheep are dumb, directionless, and defenseless. First, sheep are dumb. Hear this news story from the country of Turkey that tells us how dumb they are. If you can read, it says, Turkish sheep die in mass jump. Turkish shepherds watched in horror as hundreds of their sheep followed each other over a cliff, says Turkish newspaper reports. First, one sheep went over the cliff edge, only to be followed by the whole flock, according to the reports. More than 400 sheep died in the 15-meter fall, and their bodies cushioning the fall of 1,100 others who followed and survived. So that's 1,500 sheep in total just jumped off the cliff. In another article that I found for the same incident, it says, shepherds from a nearby village neglected the flock while eating breakfast, leaving the sheep to roam free. And the financial loss was about $94,000 Canadian dollars. So just while the shepherd was eating breakfast, one sheep goes off a cliff and 1,499 other sheep follows. Maybe dumb isn't enough of a word to describe what sheep are like. The second reason why sheep needs a shepherd is because they are directionless. As we just read in Ezekiel 34, and in that news, sheep wander. They go stray. Without a shepherd, all of them, they get lost. Maybe some of you will remember the news of a sheep that was lost for about 6 years and then was found in New Zealand in 2004. Shurek is the name of that sheep. He wandered away from the flock and somehow miraculously survived for 6 years and then was found like this. If you are thinking, oh, he has been eating well for 6 years, think again. Shurek has been carrying around about 30 pounds of wool for 6 years. Sheep are dumb and directionless. And third, they are defenseless. They can't fight, no? They don't have claws or fangs, right? And they can't really run away. They're very slow. They're not so fast. So they can't fight, they can't run away. Now, other animals, if they can't fight, if they can't run away, they at least can make some scary sound, right? Like small dogs, they can bark or growl, or other animals maybe even roar. But what's the best a sheep can do? Baa, right? Or meh. Sheep are dumb, directionless, and defenseless. So when God says we are his sheep, it's not like we are this white, puffy, cute animals. We are dumb. We don't know what's true and false. We are directionless. We don't know our way, and we always get lost. And we are defenseless. We get hurt. We suffer and we're weak. So, it's a very accurate assessment of who we are, and therefore, we need a shepherd. When we say God is our shepherd, it's a very, very humbling thing to say. It's an acknowledgement that we are helpless and that God is our only and true source of wisdom, direction, and our defense. Number two, why our God is searching for us? Because we have bad shepherds. So, we need shepherd, we get it. What kind of shepherd but we need? In the Bible, not only God is described as our shepherd, but human leaders, both political and religious leaders, are depicted as shepherds. At the time for Israel, in their nomadic and herding society, shepherd was the most obvious and popular image of a leader. But what was wrong with the shepherds of Israel? Again, in Ezekiel 34, verses 2 to 4, it says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." So, all the human leaders, all the human shepherds of Israel have fallen. They took advantage of their flock. They didn't take care of the sick or the injured. They ruled, even though they were shepherds, they ruled their sheep harshly and brutally. Here's what's at the heart of a bad leader. They only take care of themselves. That's at the heart of a bad leader, taking care of only themselves. And that's exactly the opposite of what our great shepherd is like. It says he laid down his life for his sheep. That's our great shepherd, John 10:15. And this leads to us to number three point. God is searching for us because God himself wants to be our shepherd. This is the most important point today. Cadets, when your teacher says it's the most important point, the chances are that's going to be the question, okay? This is the most important point today. See? What God is promising is not just for a better human shepherd, not just a new human leader, not a new priest, not a new king, not a new prime minister or not a new president. Why? Because it's not just going to work with human shepherds, with human leaders. No matter how they try, it's not going to work. That's why God himself needed to be our shepherd. We read together in our passage today, verses 11, 12, and 15. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord." Also, through other prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, God says the very same thing. In Isaiah 40:11, "God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And in Jeremiah chapter 3:15, "Then I will give you a shepherd after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." Now, that's interesting. Right? Because God said, "I myself will become your shepherd." And now he says, "I'll give you a shepherd." Right? And very similar, this is very similar to what God has said in our passage in Ezekiel 2. We read in verse 23, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. So it's a little confusing. God said, I myself will be your shepherd, and now he says, I sent David to be your shepherd. But, as we all know, King David is not here anymore. How can he be a shepherd for you and me? Well, the long explanation short, the first book and the last book of the New Testament makes it very clear to us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And in Revelation 16, we read, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. So what's happening here? Jesus Christ is offering himself as the fulfillment of the prophecy in Ezekiel 34. He is the shepherd. He is the son of David. Let's look at a few other passages. John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, exact opposite of what bad shepherds do. One last very important passage from Hebrews chapter 13. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. We have to understand this passage, a very important passage. It's the same text, just rearranged in point forms. And the first point says, now may the God of peace. So this is the God who said, I myself will search for my sheep. I myself will become the shepherd. Who through the blood of the eternal covenant. So it's the eternal covenant that was made through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the new covenant of Jeremiah that says, I will be their God and they will be my people. Through that eternal and new covenant made by the blood of Jesus and brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, our Jesus who completed his work of salvation in resurrection, our resurrected Savior. That great shepherd of the sheep, he is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34, equip you with everything good for doing his will. So this is our great shepherd. Our great shepherd, God himself, through the blood of the new and eternal covenant, who is resurrected from the dead, who defeated the power of the evil, and the one who fills the prophecy of Ezekiel 34 as our shepherd, now he equips us with everything good for doing his will. And what's even better? That no one can take us away from this great shepherd. John chapter 10 continues, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them for me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. For I am convinced, this is from Romans chapter 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate the sheep from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord and our great shepherd. This is the good news. This is why God is searching for us. And now the final point. God is searching for us to make us His mini shepherds. So we were sheep. We were this hopeless, helpless sheep. But God calls us to be His people, His children. And now He tells us, "You are my mini shepherds." God is searching for us. God is seeking for us to join Him, searching for the other sheep that are lost. In verse 16, we read, "I will search for the lost and bring back the strays." Yes, we are His sheep. Yes, we have been found in Him. And yes, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal covenant was made between God and us. But, there are still other sheep that are lost, that are helpless, that are wandering. And our great shepherd is still searching for the lost. Very famous story from the book of Luke. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And verse 7, "I tell you that in the very same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." This is not just a mission. Not just a mission. This is not just another task we have to complete. This is an invitation. A holy and glorious invitation to join as His sheep in what our great shepherd is doing and what He rejoices in. This is not just a mission. It's the most meaningful, most satisfying, and most joyous thing we have ever been invited to do, together with our great shepherd. Our one last passage, again John 10, in verse 16, this is what Jesus says. This is what we live for now. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Amen. Amen. I want to finish by reading to you this beautiful quote from preacher John Piper from one of his talks at a mission conference. Let me read it for you. "And now, just when the danger starts to arise, when we may take this doctrine of sovereign grace and twist it into an arrogant, in-house, elitist charter for the private comfort of the chosen few, Jesus says in John 10, 'I have other sheep that are not of this fold.' Just when the Jewish disciples begin to feel like they are the real select heirs of Abraham, Jesus strikes, 'I have other sheep that are not even part of this Jewish fold, the Gentiles.' Just when the early American Puritans were settling into their chosen status as the new Israel in the new world, Jesus said to John Eliot, 'I have other sheep that are not of this Puritan fort among the Algonquin Indians. And about 100 years later, to David Brainerd, I have other sheep that are not of this congregational fold among the Susquehanna Indians. Just when the particular Baptists of England were being frozen in their unbiblical ice of hyper-Calvinism, Jesus spoke to William Carey, I have other sheep that are not of this English fold in India. Just when the mission agencies and churches were growing content with the coastland successes around the world, Jesus stirred up Hudson Taylor, I have other sheep that are not of this coastal fold, inland in the middle of China. And to David Livingstone, inland in the middle of Africa. And when all of Western Christendom began to feel content that every country of the world has been penetrated with the gospel, Jesus came to Cameron Townsend, who founded the Wycliffe Bible Translators, and said, I have other sheep that are not of this visible worldwide fold among the hidden tribal peoples, thousands of them with not even a scripture portion in their language. So, this is an invitation for you and for me and for you guys, cadets, from our great shepherd. I have other sheep that are still lost, injured, and suffering. I must bring them also. My sheep, will you join me in searching for them? This is the inscription of the tomb of David Livingstone, a pioneer missionary to Africa. His tomb is located in Westminster Abbey in London, England. You probably can read it, but to your left side of the main inscription, this is what it says. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.